Morning, everyone. We're hoping, wishing everyone an easy fast for today. The Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Yud Beis. Thank Blueprint Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf is holding Zechon Nishmas Lupa Gavriel Bashmuel. We're in Yud Alf Amud Beis, and we are discussing Shitas Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says that if the man wants to be Mekadesh a woman, so he must give her a dinar. So the if you look back in the Mishnah, back on the Beis Amud Aleph, the Mishnah says, "Beis Shammai Omer Bedinar V'Shav Dinar." That in order for kedushin to be acceptable with kesef, so it has to be the equivalency of either a dinar or something equivalent to a dinar. Right? Shav kesef kekesef. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. Now, obviously, we know Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. The halacha falls like Beis Hillel. We also know Beis Shammai B'Makom Beis Hillel in a Mishnah. And despite all that, the Gemara spent the entire daf yesterday, most of the daf yesterday, discussing the reason behind Beis Shammai. Meaning, as I discussed yesterday, Beis Hillel is kind of more intuitive and easier to understand. The Torah requires a denomination in order for that a woman to be married. Let's stay with the Torah. The Torah requires a denomination. The woman's not really selling herself, she's just selling her status. So, according to Beis Hillel, you work with the smallest unit, the smallest denomination, which is a pruta. That's the opinion of Beis Hillel. Fine. Beis Shammai says, no, it's got to be a dinar, which is more, which is significantly more. But still, in other words, once you're upping the amount, so what are you doing? Meaning, you're not working with the smallest denomination, you're working with a higher amount. It certainly doesn't reflect how much he's actually valued at. That's not what's going on. So why according to Beis Shammai is the amount the kesef kedushin going to be set at a dinar? So if you remember yesterday we already proposed two explanations behind the position of Beis Shammai. One we said yesterday on the bottom of Yud Alf Amud Aleph is Rav Yosef says no. Let me go back. One is Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira in the middle of Yud Alef Amud Aleph says that she's makbid, that a woman, generally speaking, has a general hakpada, and this is like a survey of the general feeling of women, and women, generally speaking, don't want to go for a pruta, right? I'm worth more than a pruta. I mean, the truth of the matter is, like I said earlier, she's worth more than a dinar. She's worth a lot more than a dinar. But don't give me a pruta so that I can get married. I'm not going to sell my status for a pruta. It's got to be a dinar. So it has to do with the hakpada sa'isha. That is Rabbi Zeira. Then the Gemara brought in a second explanation behind Beis Shammai, and that is now on the bottom of Yud Alef Amud Aleph, and that's Rav Yosef. And Rav Yosef says that when the Torah speaks about a denomination, and the Torah demands a shekel, so we have to work with the smallest denomination in the Torah, the smallest silver denomination in the Torah, which is a dinar. Meaning a pruta is obviously less than a dinar, significantly less than a dinar. That's true. But when the Torah is demanding money, and here the Torah is demanding money. Now again, we've said this time and again, where does the Torah demand money? By Kesef Kedushin. So that's based on the Gzeirah Shavah. It's not explicitly mentioned in the Torah that a man's Mekadesh a woman with Kesef, but it's learned out through Kicha Kicha. So therefore, through the Gzeirah Shavah, we know that the Torah demands a Kesef Kedushin be given with Kesef. So it has to be silver. It has to be pure silver. The smallest pure silver denomination is a dinar. That is the opinion of Rav Yosef. And now we're up to the third opinion. We're on Yud Alef Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. Now we're up to Reish Lakish. It's about eight lines from the bottom of the Amud on Yud Alef Amud Beis. And this is a continuation. A third explanation now behind Beis Shammai. Reshim ben Lakish Omer, Tamad Beis Shammai Kid Chizkiah. So the Gemara says, I'll give you the reason why. And it's based on a statement by Chizkiah. Damar Chizkiah, Makrav Avdei. Once again, we go back to our Amma Ivriya. Father has the right to sell his daughter off to servitude. The purpose of the sale, the goal of the sale, is that hopefully either the owner or the son of the owner is going to marry her. So it's a means of protecting her. It's a means of creating an environment of marriage. But that's a goal. Right now, she's being sold. How does she gain her freedom? Well, she may not. In other words, she may the servitude may turn into marriage. Okay, fine. But there is a means in which she can gain her freedom. One of them is pedia, is redemption. And now the Gemara quotes in the name of Chizkiah. How does that work exactly? So what happens is that we prorate. We take the price that she was purchased for at the beginning, at the origination of her mechira. We figure out how many years she worked, how many years is remaining. We divide that number, the total number of years, we divide that number by the Kesef Kedushin. not the kesef kedushin. Sorry, the kesef mechira, and then so we prorate whatever's remaining. That's going to be her buyout. We're basically buying out her contract. So the Gemara says now, Iyamar Bishlama Diav LaDinar. Now the Gemara says now, how much was she purchased for in the front end? Now, I know it gets interesting because we're not talking about Kiddushin, and I already made that mistake twice, as I'm explaining the Gemara. We're not talking about Kiddushin. We're talking about the sale price. But what the Gemara is assuming, and it is an assumption, is that the sale price of the Ama Ivriya is going to run parallel with the Kesef Kiddushin of any given woman. That's the assumption the Gemara is making. So the Gemara says, now, if you gave her a dinar, Hainan de Megara, the Azla Ad Pruta. So now, if the original sale price was at least a dinar, so then I understand. A dinar is divisible. There are many prutos in a dinar. We'll talk more about that later this morning, exactly how many there are. But there are many prutos in a dinar. So at least you have an ability to prorate and deduct the number of years that she already worked. Fine. But Eli Amardi Avle Pruta. So the Gemara says, but let's see the original sale price was a pruta. Okay, she went on the real cheap in terms of the sale of the Ama Ivriya. Now, but if it's a pruta, so now what? Mi Megara? So the Gemara says, now you can't prorate if what she was sold for was a pruta. A pruta is not divisible. And the Gemara says, well, maybe the Torah is just simply saying that if she sold for a dinar, so then there's a buyout option. But if she was only sold for a pruta, there simply is no buyout option because the pruta is simply not divisible. Maybe that's what the Torah means. The Gemara says, lo sakadalcha. Gemara says, nope, I wouldn't entertain that thought. Dum yid yid. My yid of a gav di by me I v by lo me I call hecha de lo matzi me I lo hav is vina zvina. So the Gemara says, look, because we know that one of the possible outcomes of Ama Ivriya is what's called yiyud. Yiyud is marriage. It's a special term of marriage used in the context of Ama Ivriya. When a girl is sold as an Ama Ivriya and she is then married to either the owner or the son of the owner, that is called, the Torah calls it yiyud, yud ayin dalet. So the Gemara says, look, a woman can only be sold as an Ama Ivriya only if there's a possibility of yid. Let's say, for example, she gets sold to somebody that she's not allowed to marry. So what do we say? That the sale is a good sale, just that it's not going to result in yield? No. What we say is, the sale is not a valid sale at all. Meaning, if yield is not a possible outcome, the sale is not a sale. So the Gemara says, Hachinami, kol hecha delamatzi megara, lo havet zvina zvina. So the Gemara says, well, if prorating is not an option, so then the sale from the point of origination is also not going to be a sale. Meaning, pedia has to be a means, a form, an option of her being released. And if it's not an option, so then the sale is not going to be a sale. So now, once again, the argument goes that if the original purchase price is a dinar, that's great. So now you can prorate. But if the original purchase price was a pruta, well, you can't prorate at that point in time. Okay. And now, with all that stated, so what do we see? That the original purchase price of an Ami Ivriya cannot be less than a dinar. And now the assumption, which the Gemara is going to speak out, so the Gemara says, and that's the assumption, that just like an Ami Ivriya cannot be less than a dinar for reasons that there's, if it were pruta, there would be an inability of prorating, and therefore the sale will not be a valid sale. So too, when a woman is miskadeshes, it can be no less than a dinar. Ve'ema palga de dinar, ve'ema shte prutos. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. If the entire issue is the ability to prorate the remaining contract, it doesn't have to be a dinar, right? Can't it be a half a dinar? Can't it be two prutas with two prutas? So that could be prorated. So the Gemara says, Kevin dafkis dafikte mi pruta ukme dinar. So the Gemara says, well, no, because from the pruta, the next denomination up from that is a dinar. Now, as we're going to learn in just a couple of minutes from now, that's not true. There are many denominations that exist between the pruta and the dinar. And our currencies will call the pruta a penny. It's not, I'm just saying this by way of analogy. Our pruta is a penny, and the dinar is something much closer to, this is not a ratio, I'm not giving you the amount, but it's something closer to a dollar. Right? So in other words, there are many denominations in between. But as we will see over the course of this morning, that's true. But from the Torah's perspective, it goes Pruta, and then the next one up from that is Dinar. Dinar is the next Torah denomination that goes up from there. So the Gemara says as a result of that, the next one up is a Dinar. That's why we jump from Pruta all the way up to Dinar. Okay. Okay, could be. The way the Gemara seems to present it, Ama Ivriya is like a subcategory of Kedusha. In other words, because that's the goal. That's what the direction.
Does the Ama get the money or the father?
No, the father gets the money.
How is she going to have money to redeem herself?
Oh, that's an excellent question. So someone's going to sponsor her. We'll talk in our parak, in the first parak of Kedushin, the Gemara is going to talk about that in more detail later on. Okay, Rava Amar, and now finally, with one more line discussing this topic, we're going to give one final explanation of Beis Shammai. So far in yesterday's daf, we saw Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Yosef. The beginning of today's daf, we saw Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. And finally, a fourth opinion, that of Rava. Hainu tam de Beis Shammai shlo yibnei sisol kehefka. We do not want Benos Yisrael kehefker, meaning if all you need is a pruta in order to be Mekadosh Benos Yisrael, so that's too cheap. And the Chachamim didn't want it. And so basically what the Chachamim did is they amped up the price so that you understand that what you're doing is you are getting not just a woman, but Benos Yisrael. You take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi writes, Liknos bedavar muat, right? The Chachamim didn't want the ability to be kone with just a pruta. Umidurabanan hu dekaamrile Beis Shammai. And Rashi says that according to Beis Shammai, this is a chumra midurabanan. Chumra may not be the best way to say it, but it's a mala. It's a special injunction made by the Chachamim that we're going to move the price up from a pruta up to a dinar. Meaning, the way Rav is explaining Beis Shammai, min haTorah, a pruta works. But the Chachamim said, but we don't want that. We don't want the perception, the misperception, that that's how much, all you need is a pruta in order to be a Mekadosh woman. The Afkei Rabban LeKiddushin, HaPechusin MiDinar. Rashi over here uses very strong language. In fact, even though this is only a Chachamim inflated price, but the Chachamim were so bent on this being the inflated price in terms of how much Kedushin is, anything less than that, and it's simply not a Kedushin. Do the Chachamim have that ability to just simply revoke Kedushin? And Rashi says, and we saw this twice in Gittin, yeah, that's right. The Chachamim do have that power and do have that ability. No, right. That's certainly seems to what Rashi is driving at. Okay, Uveisil Omer Bepruta. Okay, and Beisil is of the opinion that we need a Pruta. So after having spent yesterday's daf dedicated to the topic of Beis Shammai, what's the reason behind Beis Shammai? That's not the halacha. The halacha falls like Beisil. To be Mekadosh woman, you need a Pruta. To which the Gemara now discusses, of Rav Yosef Lememar, Pruta called to who? Rav Yosef is of the opinion that it could be a Pruta called to who? Any Pruta. Now, what does he mean, Pruta called to who? So, if you take a look at Rashi, Komasha Hadoros, Mishanin Esametbea, Pamim Shepchusim, Pamim Shemosifim, Mimishkalan. The current currency. And the current smallest currency. So, if Rav Yosef lived in America in 2016, first of all, I think his mind would explode. But aside from that, so in other words, a penny. Right, the smallest minted coin of your time. That would serve as the pruta. So in other words, what Rav Yosef is really arguing is, it's not necessarily an objective amount. It's just simply whatever is the smallest current minted coin. So the Gemara says, Amale Abai Vaha, Allah Kitani Kami Pruta, Echad Mishmona Bisari Talki. So Rav Yosef says to Abaye, sorry, let me do that correctly. Abaye says to Rav Yosef, wait one second, would you look back at our Mishnah? Our Mishnah, after telling us the Pruta, gives us its value relative to the Isar.
It's a fixed value.
So it's got to be a fixed value. Hanimil b'darshal Moshe. So what Rav Yosef will argue, counter-argue is, no. The Mishnah is only giving us a fixed value respective to the generation of Moshe. Avahacha k'dechash v'aluhu ilinshi. But in other words, Rav Yosef says, but get with the times. In other words, if you live in a time where the current currency is smaller in weight than the pruta, whatever it is, whatever is the current currency. So the Gemara says, okay, but I know that when Rav Dimi came in and he measured how much of the pruta is, it came out to an eighth of the Isser, which, by the way, is what our Mishnah taught us. Kiyaz the Ravin, and Ravin comes in, and this is so classic. Rav Dimi comes in and says one thing, Ravin comes in and says something slightly differently, and here Ravin comes in, Amar Rav Dustav Rabbi Yanai, the Rabbi Oshia, Shira Kamaya Pruta Echa Mishishim, I'm sorry, Mishisha Be Isser Italki, and they comes out to be a sixth of the Isser Haitalki. So, okay, so what do you find over here? That these Amarayim, Rav Dimi, Ravin, are both measuring, and they're coming up with a standard measurement. Now, again, they differ from one another. One has an eighth of an Isser, and the other has it at a larger sixth of an Isser. But still, in other words, they come up with a measurement. So Amalei Rav Yosef, Ihachi Haina Detanina. So Rav Yosef says, okay, but let me ask you to consider the following. Again, Rav Yosef is trying to argue from the beginning of the section that the pruta is not an objective amount, but rather the pruta is whatever is standard at the time. And Rav Yosef now is going to tell you, I'm going to show you that I'm right. That the pruta does not have to be a standardized unit, and it could be whatever is the smallest amount. He says, consider the following. I know the following brisa. Now, before we learn this brisa together, just one quick word of introduction. If I take anything that belongs to Hekdesh and I get benefit from it and I misappropriate from it, so I'm what's called Moel Behekdesh. The Isser of Me'ila in the Torah means one of three things, three consequences. One, I have to make full compensation to the Beis HaMikdash of that which I misappropriated. Two, I have to tack on another 20/25%. And for another time, in terms of that which I misappropriated as a kanas, and then on top of that, I also have to bring a carbon. The carbon I have to bring is a special carbon called an Asham Ila. In fact, if you were listening last week in Shul and Shabbos, so you heard about the Asham Ila. It's located at the end of Parshas Vayikra. Okay, so those are the three consequences. Now, generally speaking, when I bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah does not care how much the carbon costs. An animal is an animal is an animal. However, when it comes to the Asher Me'ilah, the Torah says that there is a very specific cost in terms of how much the Asher Me'ilah has to be. It has to be valued at 2 salayim. No less, I should say, than 2 salayim. Now, let's read the brisa, and then we'll do a little bit of computation. Seva chashov kama prutos bishnei salaim yoser me alpayim. So what this brisa says very succinctly is, look at what you have to do. For getting a pruta's benefit a pruta's value of benefit from something that belongs to Hekdesh, I have to now bring a carbon that's more than 2,000 more times the value of a pruta. That's the brisa. And basically the point of the brisa is, you have to really think twice before getting any benefit from Hekdesh. Meaning, don't be Moel Behekdesh, and if you do so, you may have to pay back to the Beis HaMikdash in the form of the carbon that you're going to bring, meaning in addition to the compensation and the chomish that you have to pay. You also have to bring a carbon that may be more than 2,000 times the amount that you got. Now the Gemara says, now, we're going to need to do a little bit of computation, but here are your basic numbers. A sela is equal to 4 dinarim. A dinar is equivalent to 24 yisarim. And an isser is 8 prutas. Okay? And if you take those numbers, 4, 24, 8, and you multiply those three numbers together, you end up with 768. Now, that's one sela. One sela is 768 prutas. Now all we need to do is just multiply that by 2. Because the minimum carbon of an Asher Me'ilah is 2 times that number. 2 times 768 is 1536. Now, let's think this through. 1536 is not the purported 2,000 more than the pruta that I got benefit from. So what Rav Yosef now is coming to argue is, you see, the pruta is fluctuating. Because if the pruta were a standardized amount, so then the brisa should say 1536. Not more than 2,000. That's a great proof from Rav Yosef that the pruta has got to be a fluctuating amount. And now, all we're going to do is just read inside the Gemara. Ashta, apaim lo havya. So first of all, the Gemara says, it's not even 2,000. as we just went through the numbers. Yes, my pan karalahu, and the brisa says it's even more than 2,000. Like, what's the brisa talking about? So again, it's a great proof for Rav Yosef that the pruta seems to be fluctuating in value. So amalu ausaba anatanina la karav la paim. So first of all, they say to Rav Yosef, when I learned this brisa, I don't learn the brisa more than 2,000, but nearly 2,000. Okay, it's a little bit better. So that's we're now massaging the numbers. So a little bit, so it's almost 2,000. Now, between you and I, 1536 is not a little, is not almost 2,000. That's the Gemara's next question. So Apa Chamesh Mea, Vitalas and Vishisa, the Gemara says 1536, he, Dahavian, Kaven, Denafkalu, Mipaga, Karavla, Pan Karale. And the Gemara says, in terms of accounting, it's reasonable. It's greater than 1,000. It's greater than 1,500. So basically, we're going to round it. We're going to round it up to 2,000. And we didn't say 2,000. We said it's almost 2,000. So the Gemara says, in terms of accounting, it is fair to say 1,536 is almost 2,000. Fine. So the Gemara, although Rav Yosef would like to argue that the pruta is a fluctuating currency based on the current standards, the Gemara seems to have rejected the position of Rav Yosef in that a pruta is a standardized amount. Gufa. The Gemara says, now let's go back for just a moment, because we saw that Rav Dimi and Ravin argue exactly how much is a pruta regarding relative to the Isar. One has it as an eighth of an Isar, which is, by the way, what our Mishnah said, and one has it as a sixth of an Isar, which is obviously a greater amount. So the Gemara first restates the two positions. Gufa kiyas Rav Dimi and Amar Shir Rav Simai Bedara Kama he pruta Chamishmona b'Isari Talki. So one has it as an eighth. V'chias Rav and Amar Shir Rav Dustad v'Rav Yana v'Rav Oshia Kama he pruta Echamishisha b'Isari Talki. One has it as a sixth of the Isser. So Amalei Abayl Rav Dima Nema At Rav and Bepukta Dehani Tanai Kamiflugi. So the Gemara says, now obviously they're debating. One holds an eighth, the other holds a sixth. The Gemara says maybe what they're doing is echoing an older machlokus between the Tanayim, the Tanya. And now in the Braisa, it says the following. Pruta Shamru Chachamim. How much is a pruta? Echad Mishmona B'Isar Yitalki. It is an eighth of an Isar. Okay, so the Tanakama's position, although the Tanakama is going to throw a whole bunch of other numbers at us, all we need to know is what was just stated. That according to the Tanakama, a pruta is an eighth of an Isser. Sheshma Kesef Dinar. Sheshma Kesef Dinar. Ma'a Shnei Pundayon. Pundayon Shnei Yisarin. Isser Shnei Musmasin. Misma Shnei Kuntarkin. Kuntrak Shnei Prutos. Okay, like I said, we're going to throw out a whole bunch of numbers at us. Nimtza Pruta Achas Mishmona B'Isser Yitaki. But all we need to know is that according to the Tanakama, is an Isser is equivalent to eight prutos. In fact, just look at the last three denominations that were given to us, and that's all you need to know, is that the Isser is two musmasim, a musmas is two kuntrukin, a kuntruk is two prutos. Okay, so that's two times two times two. That's eight. Okay, that's all. That's really all you need to know according to the Tanakhama. And now Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer. Now Rav Shimon Gamliel is also going to throw a whole bunch of numbers at us, a whole bunch of denominations. Once again, all you're going to need to know. Well, I'll read it first, and then I'll explain to you all we need to know. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Shlosha Hedresim Lama Shnei Hanetim Lahedres Shnei Shmanim Lahanetz Beis Prutos Lashamin Nimsa Pruta Achas Mishisha Bisari Talki. Okay, now, Kuntra Shemin Gamliel, what are the numbers you need to know? Basically the following. Take all the numbers that he stated and multiply them, and what you're going to find is that a dinar, a full dinar, is equivalent to 144 prutas. Okay, now, we also know that a dinar is equivalent to 24 isarim. That ratio, Rav Shimon Gamliel does not disagree with. So, a dinar is both equivalent to 144 prutas, and it's also equivalent to 24 isarim. So now, for you and I, all we need to do is just simply divide. Take 144 prutos divided by 24 isarim, and you're going to find out what is the ratio of prutos to isar, and the number is 6. That's all you need to know. So now what we seem to have is a machlok between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel arguing exactly how many prutas fit into one iser. 8 versus 6. Now the Gemara says that is the machlokus between Rav Dima and Ravin, right? Good. The Gemara says Lema Damar Amar Katana Kama V'Ravin Damar Karash Bag. Okay, so there you have it, a machlokus Amoraim fitting into the machlokus Tanaim, and it's pretty neat. Amalei Bain Didi Bain Ravin Aliba De Tana Kama. So the Gemara says not necessarily. Maybe both me and Ravin can fit into the position of Tanakama. Once again, we've seen this time and again, where the Amoraim do not want to be pigeonholed into one particular Shita, and certainly not the Shitas Yachid. Okay, so the Gemara says, and so basically fit us both into the position of the Tanakama, where the Tanakama says it's 8 prutas per Isser, and Velokasha Hadiyaki Isari Hadazoli Sari. Now, in terms of why Ravin and Ravdimi are giving us different amounts, different values, one setting the Isser at 8 prutas and the other one setting at 6 prutas, is because the Isser itself fluctuates in value. Sometimes the Isser is worth 8, sometimes the Isser is worth 6. Okay, so and you're trading the Isser, so you have that kind of fluctuation of value. So hadiyakri Isser kum esrim va'arba bezuza. So if the Isser is at a high value, it's going to be valued at 24 zuz. And hadazol kum talsim v'trim bezuza. And then when it's at its cheap, it's going to be 32 of a zuz. Okay, a zuz, by the way, is equivalent to a dinar. Okay, so it's either going to be 24 to the dinar or 32 to the dinar. So the Gemara says, and that will... So basically, it's just a fluctuation of the Isser itself. But the Pruta is a fixed currency. Okay, Adkan. That gets us through the currencies of the day, the math of the day. What do we walk away with? Basic machlokes between Rav Yosef and other Amoraim, whether the Pruta is based on current denominations or is the Pruta fixed value. Rav Yosef argues the former, the other Amoraim argue the latter, and we move on in the Gemara. Amar Shmuel. Kiddusha Betamra. Okay, let's say a man goes over to a woman and gives her a date, and again uses a very cheesy line of, right? Would you like the date? Would you like to marry me? I'm going to give you the Kesef Kiddushin. I'm not going to give you money. I'm giving you an equivalency, and I'm giving you a single date. Okay. And now we hearken back to what we learned earlier this morning of what Rava's explanation of Beit Shammai. You know, we don't want Benos Yisrael to go on the cheap. Okay, but anyway, a single date. Afilo omed kor tamarim bedinar. Now, let's say that dates really are sold cheap. And this particular day, this one single day that he handed her, is not valued at a pruta, however mikudeshes. We are concerned that the kedushin is valid. Why? Chayshin and Shemesh have a pruta b'madai. Because if you go to Madai, and if you listen carefully tonight to the Megillah, you're going to hear that word a number of times. Note for tonight. Madai is always going to come after Paros, except one time. Right, when you read the Megillah tonight, you perk up for the one time that Madai comes before Paras and not after Paras. Okay, anyway. V'ha'anantanan. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. So Madai, so dates are not cheap. Okay, in fact, Rashi over here gives an economic explanation. Right, your Economics 101 is all encapsulated in a single Rashi. And not only that, a five-word Rashi. Rashi, b'madai klomer, b'makum she'ein tamar mitsuyim. Okay, a nice supply and demand Rashi. So Rashi says that there's not a lot of dates in Madai, and therefore the price of dates in Madai is higher. Okay, so basically what the Gemara now is entertaining is that since you can fetch different prices for the date in different locations, even though here the date is valued less than a Shavapruta, but nevertheless, if you go somewhere else, it's valued at a higher price. And so therefore, Shmuel says, you need to be concerned about the differing values in different locations. Okay, this is the argument of Shmuel. Sorry.
Would it be the same if you gave him money from a different country?
Could be. Let's just first finish this and then. Okay. The ha'anan tanan beisila armin bepruta v'shava pruta. So the Gemara says, but wait 1 second. Didn't Hill say pruta v'shava pruta? Lo kasha b'kedusha avada ha'pekedusha safek. So the Gemara says, I am not saying that she is definitely mekudeshes. All we're saying is it's a suffix, meaning because of the possibility that the date is going to be at a higher price in a different locale. So maybe, not definitely, maybe the kedushin would be a valid kedushin. The Gemara tells another story. How gavadiktish bezavda de orde. A man was mekudesh a woman using a stone. The stone. I'm sorry. Not yet. Zavda de orde. Aguda shomuchin. Okay, cotton balls. Okay. The guy previously looks now like the big spender of the day. So a man goes over to a woman's mekadesh her with some form of a cotton ball. So once again, now we need an appraisal. We need to know how much it was worth, because again, a kedushin is only valid if it's the value of a shavapruta. So the Gemara says, man, wait 1 second, what about Shmuel? Shmuel says that because it may have a higher value in a different location where it's a scarce item and therefore goes at a higher value. So didn't Shmuel say we're worried about Kedushin? So once again, the Gemara repeats the same thing and made the same point it made just a moment ago. Halokasha, Habik Dusha Vada, Habik Dusha Suffolk. So once again, the Gemara says, look, we're not discussing whether she's for sure married. All we're discussing is that at least now there's a chashash, there's a possibility of marriage. Okay. How gavra de iktish ba'avna de kuchla? Okay, now we're up to the stone. A black stone. All right, maybe a black pearl, but either way, a man's mekadesh a woman using with an item. Yasa rav chisa v'kamishar lai yispe shavapruta shavapruta in v'ilola. So the Gemara says, okay, so now Rav Chista is doing the appraisal. The Gemara says, v'ilais b'shavapruta lova hamar Shmuel chayshinan. So the Gemara says, well, what about Shmuel? In other words, didn't Shmuel say that you have to be worried about differing values in different locations? Rav Chista lo savar le de Shmuel. So the Gemara says, okay, so Rav Chista is an Amara, and he just simply argues with the position of Shmuel. Amar le ime. So now the mother interjects. And the mother says, on the day in which he was Mekadesher, I'm telling you it was valued and appraised at a Shavapruta. Amar Las, Rav Chisda says to the mother, Lav kol kaminach darsatele abasra. Nope. You are not reliant in order to make her prohibited unto the second man. Meaning, we're going to add another chapter in the story, and that what happened was is that this woman accepted Kiddushin from the first husband, but it was a stone, and Rav Chisda does not worry about Shmuel, about different locations, different prices. So Rav Chisda was looking at its current value right here, right now. And what about Shmuel? So Rav Chisda doesn't hold a Shmuel. That's number one. Number two is that, and now this is the second chapter in the story, is that she also accepted Kiddushin from another man. Man, and the condition she accepted from the second man was definitely worth a shavapruta. And so now, what the mother of this woman is saying is, wait 1 second. She accepted kedushin from the first man, meaning the stone, the black stone. And what the mother now is arguing is that I'm telling you that even though it's not worth right now the value of a shavapruta, but, you know, prices go up, prices go down, and I'm telling you that historically, it was valued as Shavapruta. This is now what she's reporting. To which Rav Chisda says now to the mother, not only am I not worried about the position of Shmuel, I'm not going to listen to you as well. Meaning, you're not going to be enough testimony for me to tell me that the historical price of the stone was that it once upon a time was greater than a Shavapruta. Lav kol kaminech ta'arsele abasra. I'm not going to listen to you. And look, she already accepted kedushin from another man. And by the way, the second man was generous enough to give her something which was undeniably a shavapruta. So basically what Rav Chisda says is she's married to the second man, and he says to the mother, and you need to Remove yourself from that discussion. Lav hainu. So the Gemara says, and I'll tell you another story where I know that this is in fact so. We turn out to you at Beis Amid Beis. Lav hainu de Yehudas de Vesai de Rabbi Chia. Look, there was a story once with Yehudas who was the wife of Rabbi Chia. De Havisud Sar Leida. She had a terrible delivery. Rashi says it was twins. And it was just painful. And Amrile Aim, and now she says to her husband, you know, my mother told me, Kibo Bech Avuch Kidushe Ki Zutras. You know, I was told by my mom, that Kiddushin was accepted on my behalf by somebody else. Now, this is for sure a postpartum reaction to the delivery of twins. But basically, what she was trying to tell her husband is, we're not married. The kedushin was accepted by when I was very young by somebody else. At least that's what my mother told me. And so, I'm recognizing right now that she's also trying to say that the children are mamzerim, which again, basically, you could pin this all on postpartum, but the point of the story is, Amar La, so he says, Lav kol kaminadi, de imech de asart lech ilave. Your mother's testimony over here is not going to make you asur. You are a married woman, more than a married woman. Yeah. Married woman now with two children. Okay, right. Your mother's stories over here are not going to influence one way or another. So basically, so you see over here that I'd say wives' tales, but these aren't wives' tales. These are mothers' tales, are just simply not regarded. If we're dealing with, I mean, keep in mind, by the way, we're dealing with a woman who's married. So they're just simply discarded. So Amalei Lavko Kaminach Neimek Dasar Lech Lave. So Amalei Rabban La Rav Chista Amai Ha'ika Sahade Be'idis Yad Debehu Yuma Hava Be Shavapruta. So now they will go over to Rav Chista and they say, wait one second. Okay. So, you're not worried about Shmuel. Let's go over the things that Rav Chisda is not worried about. You're not worried about Shmuel's position that maybe in different locations it would have different prices. So Rav Chisda says, I'm not worried about that. You're not worried about the story that was told by the mother about that historically was valued at greater than a Shavapruta. So once again, Rav Chisda also waves that off as well. It's like basically like the catcher who waves off all the... the pitcher who waves off all the signs of the catcher. So no, I'm not worried about that as well. What about the fact that I can produce witnesses who will tell you that it was once valued as Shavapruta? So the Gemara says, Hashta mi'a lo lesnehu kaman. So the Gemara says, so Rav Chisda's response is, are the witnesses here right now? And if the answer is no, which it is, so then I'm not worried about that as well. Don't tell me about theoretical witnesses. If they're not here, then we have nothing to talk about. Lav hainu de Rabbi Chanina, and Rav Chisda says, and I have a precedent for that as well. Rav Chanina told us, Damar Rav Chanina, Eideha b'tzad istan v'te'aser. Now, the story with Rabbi Chanina involved the daughters of Shmuel. Right, the daughters of Shmuel, which is it's just a horrible story. A horrific story where Shmuel's daughters themselves were taken into captivity and they came back, and based on a series, Rashi over here goes through some of the details of the story, but basically based on a series of reports that they give regarding themselves, so they were deemed to be not violated and muteris to marry a Kohen. Okay. What about the fact that there are theoretical witnesses who saw that they were taken into captivity? Meaning, if they're the ones who are reporting that they were taken into captivity, so then we have the principle of a pesha asar, who a pesha etir. But we don't. But if we know through actual testimony they were taken to captivity, they themselves now cannot declare that their status is a good status. One which in which they were not violated. So the Gemara says, what about the daughters of Shmuel who were taken to captivity? And there are theoretical witnesses. To which the Rabbi Chanina says, they're not here. If the witnesses are not here, then we just simply are not concerned about quote-unquote theoretical witnesses. Okay. So, where do we stand right now? So we are dealing with a woman who went to Rav Chisda, and the mother went to Rav Chisda, and the mother said that this woman accepted Kiddushin from somebody else, and it was at the time historically Shavapruta. So Rav Chisda basically says, no, I'm not listening to you. I'm not worried about Shmuel's position. I'm not listening to the mother. The theoretical witnesses also I'm disregarding because they're not here. So Rav Chisda says, I'm simply not bothered by any of this. And finally, to which the Gemara says, Abai Rava, lo sfir lahad Rav Chisda. So Abai and Rava did not agree with Rav Chisda's conclusion on this scenario. Why? In Mikila b'shvuya, demenavla nafsha gabe shavai, neko b'eshes ish. So Abai and Rava said, look, in the case of the captive daughters of Shmuel, there's another mitigating factor to take into consideration, which is that they can deter the captors from violating them. They can look disheveled. They can make themselves look very uncomely, and they could basically. It's a mitigating factor. We don't argue this in of itself, but it's a mitigating factor to consider. Abai and Rava says over here we're talking about a married woman. And she may possibly be married previous to this marriage. And Abai Rava says, we're just simply not going to agree with Rav Chisda's conclusion. Aishas, I'm sorry, Ishtayer, Me'ayi Mishpach Besura, Uparsha Rabbanamina. So, and the Gemara tells us a little historical footnote, and that is that there were members of this family, the one that Rav Chisda ruled on, the one that Abai and Rava didn't agree with Rav Chisda's ruling, there were members of that family, and the Chachamim always stayed away from that family. Mishum Disfir Lahu Dishmu.
The 93 girls will be davening in the Beit Midrash. The 93 girls will be davening in the Beit Midrash. Everyone else is in the regular davening.
Lamishum Disfir Lahu Dishmuel, and it has nothing to do with Shmuel's ruling. Remember, Shmuel's ruling was we have to worry about price fluctuation based on different geographic locations. The Gemara says that's not the issue. Lamishum Disfir Lahu Kabai V'Rava, but rather they hold like Abai and Rava, meaning Abai and Rava said that in the case of Shvuya we're going to be more makel, but not in the case of marriage. Okay, brings us now to the remaining part of today's daf. And that is the following. How gavra dikdashesh bishutisa da'asa b'shuka. A man goes over to a woman and is mekadesh her with hadasim, very nice, but did so in the marketplace, out in the public. Shachar ravacha brahuna lakamad Rav Yosef ki agav namai. So they go to Rav Yosef and they say to Rav Yosef, what do you think? Shalachlei nagdei karav. Rav Yosef says, let's get the man in here and let's give him malchus. Not Malkus min haTorah, he didn't violate any Isser Lav in the Torah, but you know what he did? He acted extraordinarily inappropriately. He was Mekadosh woman in the marketplace, out in the public, out in the open. That's just not Mitznius. It's not modest. The Itzrechita Kishmul. And on top of that, I would tell you that I am worried about Shmuel's position. Meaning, you were asking me about the value of the Hadas and whether or not it's valued at a pruta or not valued at a pruta. So what Rav Yosef is essentially saying is as far as the value of the Hadas is concerned, I do worry about Shmuel's position, that the different locations have different prices, and this Hadas may have a higher price in a different location. So I'm worried about Shmuel's position, so therefore, I will tell you that the Kiddushin may be, in fact, a good Kiddushin, therefore she's going to need a get. But what I'm also telling you is the inappropriateness of getting married in a public forum like that. And for that, I'll give a makos. And now the Gemara gives us the list. What's the list? The list of things that Rav thought were very inappropriate, not bitsnius. And Rav's reaction is that Malkus. Malkus midrabanan, also known as Malkus Mardus. So Rav would unleash the lashes for anyone who did this. And here's the list. Mangit Aman the Mekash Bashuka. You got married in the marketplace, you did Kiddushin in the marketplace, that's not Bitsnius. Mekash Babia. Doing Kiddushin through Bia, which we spent the last couple of days learning about, as one of the ways, a means of being a Mekadosh woman. But once again, not b'tznius. Rashi says it's not b'tznius. Imagine what you have to do in order to be mekash b'biyah. You need witnesses. Now the witnesses are not going to be there in the room. That's beyond b'tznius. But even though they're going to be outside, but still they're outside. You're telling them I'm going to be mekash with b'biyah. You're going now into the room. The witnesses are outside. They know what's going on. It's not b'tznius. I'm mekash below shiduche. Also getting married without shiduchim. Shiduchim is a contractual arrangement between the two sets of parents. Okay, that's also, in other words, like a loping, if you will. That's also not b'tznius. Ve'al de mevatel gita. Any husband who's mevatel a get, we talked about this back in the fourth parak of Gittin. Also, that man is acting inappropriately. Also, going to get malchus. Malchus mid the rabbanan. Al de maser moda gita. Let's say before the delivering of the get, he serves notice. And he serves notice and he says, I'm not doing this under my own good judgment. Right? I'm being forced to do so. That's a moda. So if a person does that, it's also subject to malchus. Al demesar shluchei de rabbanan. And if, let's say, shluchei de rabbanan come into your house, give you whatever, a subpoena, or whatever, and you abuse them, so then Rav would go over to your house and give you malchus. And al dechalashamti lavei tasin yoma. Also, another thing added to the list. If you allow excommunication, let's say you did something and whatever you did, you got excommunicated, and you sat in the excommunication for 30 days, meaning basically, I don't care. Excommunicate me. Who cares? 30 days in excommunication doesn't bother me. So once again, Rav would come over and give you malchus. Achasna dedar bechamua. So, and finally, last thing we're going to add to the list is when the son-in-law lives in the house of his in-laws. Meaning lives with his wife and his wife's parents as well. Gemara says that's not appropriate behavior. The Dayan Chalaflo, the Gemara says, now, living with your in-laws, the Gemara says, I'll tell you a story where it was much less than living with, and infuriated the Chachamim. Vahu Chasna de Chalav Ababa de Bechamua, the Gemara says there was a guy who just one night spent in the house, literally passed through the house of his in-laws, Vinagdi Rav Sheshes. And Rav Sheshes took the guy and gave him malchus. He wasn't even living with his in-laws. So the Gemara says, Ha'umeidam havadayma chasmo minei. So the Gemara says, no, there already were rumors swirling around about this guy and his mother-in-law. Rav Sheshes therefore felt that it was extra measures of lashes were necessary there. And finally, just to finish off the daf, now dai amre bekula lamangid rav el al mekash bebia below shiduche. In Nahar Dai, they have the tradition that Rav would only give malchus for someone who was mekash bebia and lo shiduche, and with no previous financial arrangement between the families. Or another version has that Nahar Dai held that Rav only gave lashes if for anyone who was mekash bebia, even if there was shiduche, even if there were financial arrangements made between the families, still being mekash bebia is just highly inappropriate, not b'tznius, and therefore Rav would give malchus for that, but only that, and not all the other things that were mentioned in the list previously. Stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up. Discuss today the third and fourth explanation of Beis Shammai, why a man has to be mekash woman with a dinar, not with a pruta. And we went through the denominations, how much a pruta is exactly worth. And then we talked about if a man hands something to a woman, do we need to be concerned about differing values in different locations, a fluctuation of the item, reports about its value, of its previous value, and finally a list of things that Rav would give malchus for because Rav felt that it was immodest.